Scripture just proclaimed to you turn into so many beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. In a lot of churches, particularly Anglican churches and Roman Catholic churches, a lot of times you'll see at the pulpit from where the gospel is going to be read, proclaimed, you'll see an eagle. And, you know, eagles, they soar high. And the eagle represents John. Each of the evangelists, gospel writers, has a particular symbol associated with it. And the gospel of John, always down through the ages, has had the eagle associated with it. The eagle soars. And somehow, you know, when we enter, you know, you've heard the various gospels read throughout the church year, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and now John. And, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of sound alike, and they're a little more down to earth, so to speak. And John, you heard him today, John is different. Right away, you know you're in kind of a different world. It's almost like, you know, when you read some of these, like Harry Potter, or you read like the Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia. When you read some of these things, you know, it's like you go into a different world. And sometimes we say the world is that we go into, we say to it, it's a fictional world. It's a magic world, different kind of world. But really, a lot of times in these really great novels, what we think is going to be a magical, fictional world is probably a more real world than the world we're living in ourselves right now. That so-called fictional world is in some ways casting a kind of critical look at our world and kind of pointing up to us some of the foibles of our world. Anyway, so think of the eagle and think of the eagle as soaring. And so as I talk about this gospel, we're soaring. Now remember that old game, if I say a word and then you immediately have to say the first word that comes to your mind. So I'm going to say a word. Now this is, you know, you don't have to all answer, but you just kind of do a mental little thing here. I'm going to say a word for you. This word, I think, characterizes John's gospel, but I'm going to say the word. Some of you may have never even heard of this word. Most of you will have, but the kids may not have heard of this word. But anyway, if you've heard of this word, then just what comes to mind right away? So the word is transcendence. The eagle. So I wonder what you thought. Some of you may have thought, well, like the eagle, going to a faraway distance that most of us can't reach. Something far away. And another term we might say for that is that this transcendent, whatever it is, exceeds our ability to catch up with. It's excessive. I asked my wife, Pat, if I give her the word exceed or excel, what comes to her mind. I asked her that, and then I ran off right away and said, why don't you think about it for a while? And then I came back, and she said, well, in this time of COVID, maybe it means once we're all able to get back together again, we would have an excessive amount of hugging going on. We all long to hug one another. And can you imagine when we get that chance when parents, grandparents, and cousins and aunts and friends and everything can get together and feel like they can do it safely? Can you imagine, you know, what that would be? Well, that's another way to think about transcendence. It would be something that is overflowing, but it's a kind of a more of an image that's more in line with today's gospel, because the kind of thing that John in the gospel is talking about is he's saying the transcendent reality: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That transcendent reality to which the eagle flies has come among us, is with us, is not so far away, but is present to us. In fact, so present to us that that Word has become a human being for us, so that we can become friends with them. Befriend them. That closeness. Now that, hopefully, that's a surprising way to think about transcendence, but that's really, in a certain sense, what we're invited to do at Christmas time. Now there's lots of things we could meditate about, basing ourselves on this particular gospel, trying to dig a little deeper, so to speak, and ask ourselves, well, what would it mean for this transcendent reality to become so close to us? Well, there's a lot of images in this gospel that we might fasten upon. I was trying to think of something that might be really relevant for our current situation in our country, in the world, really. I was thinking about light. It talks about the light. This Word of God was the light. And the light was shining in the fog, shining among us, brightening things up, helping us to see. To see what? To see our world. To see ourselves. To see the people around us. Reality. The light opens up us to reality. The reality of ourselves. The reality of those around us. The reality of the world around us. People around us. The animals around us. The atmosphere, everything. The more the light shines on us, the more we should be able to see. But then the text goes on and says, well, he came unto his own. The light came unto his own. And they did not receive it. They turned away from it. They preferred to live in the fog rather than in the light. But some were open. It's like, to use that metaphor of the hug, it's like the hug was being offered to us, and some people, maybe lots of people, decided not to receive the hug. Don't want a hug. I want to live in my little isolated world. I want to live over here. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anything. Just me. And we'd like to think, all of us, I think, would like to think, that we see clearly. That we don't exist in a fog. But I think when we're honest with ourselves, we know there are things we just don't want to look at. There are people we don't want to look at. There are feelings about people we don't want to look at. There are things in us we don't want to look at. There are things in our society, political society, we don't want to look at. Lots of things we don't want to look at. We don't want to know the truth. We prefer the fog. And sometimes it's not easy to know the truth because it requires humility and it requires openness. And the truth, the light shining upon us, it will help us to get to know ourselves much better, who we really are, and it will help us to really, in a sense, maybe make friends with ourselves and make friends with those around us. But we first have to have a kind of openness and humility to ourselves, that what God makes is not junk, and God does not make trash. God made us. We are reflections of God, and God wants to be a friend with us. And if we can, you know, and somehow being able to face the truth of ourselves and our lives and those around us and our society and so on, it becomes a lot easier if we kind of run into that hug, that holy hug that's being offered to us by the light that was with God and is God and became flesh. So that's my prayer and my wish for all of us. We can know the truth of ourselves, the truth of those around us, the truth of our world, because we have the light and the light is being offered to us. Don't fall for the trap of those who say we can't know the truth. The light in the beginning was with God. It is God. It shines in the fog. It's come among us. Even when we say we can't know the truth, what are we to make of that statement? Are we to say we can't know the truth? Except for that one statement that you just made, we can't know the truth. If we can't know the truth, you're saying that's a statement, something we know. If we can know that, we can know a lot more. We can know a lot more. And we can all arrive at a kind of helpful, holy, happy consensus about the things we need to know to live together in harmony and peace and in humility. And we can especially do that with the hug, holding us, supporting us, forgiving us, helping us to work through our difficulties and our differences. That's my Christmas wish for all of you.